in Jeffrey Epstein's orbit during her 2 days of conversation with Deputy Attorney General Todd Blanche. Friday, President Trump did not rule out pardoning Maxwell, who's serving 20 years for child sex trafficking. The Epstein matter has partially overshadowed the president's trip to Europe, says ABC's Rachel Scott.
The president has officially landed here in Scotland to begin his 4-day international trip. And the focus is going to be a mix of golf, family business, but also those ongoing trade talk. The president does have a meeting scheduled with the British Prime Minister in which he says they plan to fine-tune that trade deal that they reached on the sidelines of the G7 summit in Canada just a few weeks ago.
Two people were hurt Friday when a Southwest Airlines flight dropped 500 feet to avoid a mid-air collision. There were two people injured on that flight from Burbank to Las Vegas. This is ABC News. Authorities in Los Angeles are releasing new information into what caused an explosion that killed three sheriff's deputies a week ago.
1 week after the explosion killed the three L.A. County Sheriff's arson investigators, the ATF confirming it was a grenade collected in Santa Monica the day before that exploded. It was believed that grenade was inert, but now Sheriff Robert Luna says a second grenade that was collected is missing.
The fact is, right now, there's a second grenade that we're not 100% sure where it's at.
Now the warning is out to the public here for anyone who finds it to call 911. Alex Stone, ABC News, Los Angeles.
Authorities in New Orleans say a jail inmate was mistakenly released on Friday because of what the authorities called human error, released because Khalil Bryan had a similar name to someone who was supposed to be released. The police department's actively searching for Bryan. I'm Brian Clark, ABC News.
As Wisconsin as a fish fry on a Friday night, this is the Civic Media Radio Network. The Todd Allbaugh Show.
Joe Thomas grew up in Brookfield, Wisconsin, and had Hall of Fame football careers with the Badgers and Cleveland Browns. So what's his passion now? Well, join us Tuesday when Joe Thomas sits down with Brady Ewing and me for a special on-location show from Six Springs Farm, the home to Hall of Fame beef. Catching up with Joe Thomas, Tuesday. You're not going to want to miss it.
The Todd Allbaugh Show, weekdays 2 to 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Not completing high school is more of a social thing than it was an academic thing. Even though all these years have passed, I still had that longing to have my diploma.
At age 30, Carissa finished her high school diploma.
If you're even considering getting your high school diploma, you can do it.
No one gets a diploma alone. If you're thinking of finishing your high school diploma, you have help. Find free adult education classes near you at finishyourdiploma.org. That's finishyourdiploma.org. Brought to you by the Dollar General Literacy Foundation and the Ad Council.
As Wisconsin as a game of cribbage with good friends, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
For Civic Media News, I'm Sholly Pittman. Even some of the lawmakers who voted for the One Big Beautiful Bill Act say they weren't aware of everything in it. Judith Ruiz Branch of the Wisconsin News Connection has more.
UW-Madison political science professor Barry Burden says the effects of the bill's most controversial parts, like changes to Medicaid and SNAP, won't be felt until after the next midterm election. He says it's fair to think the timing is strategic.
It's almost certain that there are Republicans saying, look, this is going to hurt me back in my state or district as I try to win re-election next year. Can we please put off the pain for the Medicaid recipients and the SNAP recipients until after the midterms?
Burden says the vote became a decision on whether to support the president rather than a focus on the bill's merits. Democrats have already seized on the opportunity to target their GOP colleagues' seats in next year's midterms. Burden says while the attention was primarily focused on tax cuts and Medicaid, many elements of the bill were not thoroughly scrutinized. He thinks the nation will continue to discover consequences of the new law for years.
It's common for Congress nowadays to pass omnibus bills that are really large budget packages. And it's difficult for any member of Congress to keep track of all the things that are there. But this was one of those omnibus bills on steroids.
Many provisions didn't get any discussion on the House or Senate floor, like a $40 million National Garden of American Heroes sculpture park. Burden says Trump's pressure to sign the bill by July 4th was a key factor in getting it passed.
Since President Trump took office in January, there's been very little legislating. Almost no bills passed through the House and Senate and sent to President Trump's desk. This was one. This was a hallmark piece of legislation. It's going to be a defining piece of legislation in next year's midterms.
For Illinois News Connection, I'm Judith Ruiz Branch. Find our trust indicators at publicnewsservice.org.
As Wisconsin is dropping a line in your favorite fishing spot, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
With your forecast, I'm Corey Hartman. Partly sunny today, highs in the mid-80s. Mostly clear tonight, upper 60s. Mostly sunny, warm and humid for Sunday. A high near 91, the heat index pushing toward 100. Sunday night, mostly clear, lows in the mid-70s. 93 Monday.
Right now, 71 degrees.
Jay Matinair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, Civic Media News Director Sholly Pittman will be joining us to break down all of the news that happened over the weekend. Nothing will happen. Join us.
Matinair on Air, weekday mornings 9 to 11.
You're listening to The Eagle, WLCX. La Crosse is home for Matinair on Air.
You're listening to pre-recorded content.
From the Civic Media World Headquarters in Madison, Wisconsin, it's the Todd Albaugh Show. And now, pursuing truth wherever it may lead, here's your host, Todd Albaugh.
This is Aaron, Todd's producer. Thank you for joining us for this weekend's Best of the Todd Albaugh Show.
Civic Media Radio Network and streaming worldwide on the Civic Media app. Good afternoon, everybody, here on location at Green Bay Preble High School in beautiful Green Bay, Wisconsin, for the Wisconsin Public Education Network Summit. Glad to be along with you. Welcome into hour number two of the program, 6 minutes past the hour of 3 o'clock on this 24th day of July, 2025. It is a great day to be a Wisconsinite. Great to have you along with us. Our producer and engineer, Mr. Aaron Zommers, back at the old world headquarters on State Street in downtown Madison. Zommers, is as hot and humid and sultry down there as it is up here.
It is humid, but it's not very hot. No, it's actually pretty cool, and I am very thankful for that.
Probably because I'm unloading equipment. That's why I got a little sweaty. But no, it's great to have lots of breaking news. Of course, the news of the day across the state: Governor Tony Evers, Democrat, announced he will not seek a third term for governor. So, secondarily, in entertainment news, former professional wrestler Hulk Hogan passes away at the age of 71 of cardiac arrest, and longtime legendary musician Chuck Mangione also passing away today. I have more thoughts on those passings a little bit later on. In this hour, we'll try to sneak a What's Worse segment in as well. But right now here at the desk in the beautiful commons of Green Bay Preble High School, where it says Preble Pride on the wall of the Hornets, my high school as well, the Hornets. So a different high school, but the same mascot, the Hornets. Here at the desk is the Green Bay Education Association president, also a vocal music teacher. We're pleased to welcome Brent Bergstrom to the desk. Brent, thank you so much for being here.
Yeah, you bet.
It's a pleasure. So do you teach in this school or where we're at in the district?
I have taught in this school, yeah. I've taught in a lot of schools. That's kind of the blessing and the curse of being in music. We get spread pretty thin and across many buildings.
Right. Well, I come from a whole family of educators. My sister, my brother-in-law, my mom, my dad, my stepmom, all my grandmother, all educators. I'm the only goofball that didn't go into it. But as I look back at my life, both my vocal and in particular my high school teacher, instrumental figures in my life, and I think it's such a great opportunity to work with young people and help them mature into full-grown adults and help them reach their dreams.
Yeah, absolutely. I knew early on that I wanted to be a music teacher because I had those similar role models growing up in the music departments.
Did you tell us a little bit about yourself, where you grew up, and kind of what led you to a career in education?
Yeah, I'm actually a product of the Green Bay Area Public Schools. So I completed K-12 in Green Bay and then went to school at UW-Eau Claire for music and education.
That's great.
And worked in a few districts and then got back home.
We did our friend, ongoing contributor, Trigby Olson, and I, we did a whole show over at UW Eau Claire. Beautiful, beautiful campus.
Gorgeous.
Former Chancellor Jim Schmidt, great guy, had a lot of students on as well. I think it just reinforces the importance of our University of Wisconsin system. You know, you're a product of that, and look at the impact you're having on lives.
Yeah, absolutely. I actually go back, when I am back at UW Eau Claire, it's nice to see the, it's not new anymore, but new Davies Center, because that was part of our fees as I was attending there. They were pulling money to try to build that new center, and it's just a beautiful.
It really is.
It was beautiful when I went there, and it just keeps getting better.
Yeah, that's where we did the show from, and you're absolutely right. Well, tell us a little bit about your role of president of the Green Bay Area Education Association. What does the group do, and what is on your agenda right now?
Yeah, you bet. So the Green Bay Education Association is our union for our staff within the Green Bay Area Public Schools for our teachers and our paraprofessional units. So that includes counselors, school social workers, nurses, all the way to special ed paraprofessionals, First Nations advocates. It's really a broad range of all areas within the buildings. So I am fortunate and love this work, but I get to help lead over 1,300 members in our organization and support our 38 buildings across the district, supporting the staff to make sure that our kids are getting the best quality education that they can get.
Having grown up in Green Bay, this might sound like a goofy comment or question, but I think so many of us across the state, we think Green Bay, oh, it's all about the Packers, right? The Packers are great. Love the Packers. Just started training camp here. But I think this is a great reminder that Green Bay is also a vibrant community, and there's so much more than the Packers, and educators are helping educate the kids, the young people who live in this community.
Yeah, the Titletown District is great, and it has brought great things to our that we can enjoy, but our schools and the people that work in these buildings are fantastic, and they provide countless opportunities for our students who wouldn't have them otherwise, and it's so refreshing and exciting to see everything that's happening, including, I mean, you can see it in the Commons, our community pulling together and passing a referendum when our state doesn't fund what's needed, and our kids deserve this. They deserve a beautiful auditorium. They deserve beautiful common space to go to school. And fortunately, our community has continued to support that through the years.
Talk to us a little bit about, as the head of the association here, what educators themselves, just as people and professionals, what are their biggest challenges right now in the classroom, in helping our kids? Because, again, I just think that we don't take enough time to look at the challenges every day that our educators face.
Yeah, I mean, it's when you look at what's going on across the country right now, it's a tough place to be for so many of us and so many of our students. And I think a lot of people forget that our educators are handling that day in and day out in the classroom and trying to manage what comes along with the social situations that are occurring, on top of being completely underfunded, support students with those things. So that's, again, why it's just so important to continue funding our public schools so that we are able to provide the services that our students need to get through some interesting and challenging times.
I think we think about the time in the classroom. That's certainly important. That's where most of the work gets done. But so many of our educators are called upon to be the advisor for the groups in school, to show up at sporting events and help with that, to be coaches. And yeah, coaches might get a stipend, but a lot of these other things, educators are not being given extra money, but they do this because they have a passion for kids, right?
Yeah, absolutely. I was a show choir director for about 15 years. The pay for that is not actually pay. I did the math once and then I just decided to stop doing that. So I did it because of the passion, and I did it because I wanted those students to have the experiences I had growing up in the schools. The money was a nice, you know, bonus for maybe some shopping. I don't know. But it definitely didn't fully fund even the programs I was working in. So
Yeah, it's a lot to be desired. Brent Bergstrom is our guest. He is the president of the Green Bay Area Education Association and also a choral director here in the Green Bay Public School District. Talk a minute, if you could, please, about when you look at the kids and the growth of someone that you start and then to graduation, that has to be just particularly rewarding when a kid, have you had a student say, Mr. Bergstrom, I'm going into music. I want to do that. Talk about that.
Yeah, I have. And actually, my high school choral director at Southwest High School was one of those people to me that I was able to say, you know, you've inspired me enough that I want to do this. I've had the opportunity to work with kids from elementary and then go over and direct them in high school show choir. So wow. That's been really a cool opportunity. They showed a video this morning of a song that the district put out. Two of those students were my little babies at the elementary level, and they're up there singing, and it's great to see. But yeah, I've had a number of kids say, yeah, I'm going into music. And I was like, yes, because we need good people in our schools.
I think the arts is something that oftentimes get overlooked and not valued enough. Certainly, you know, I have two godsons. They were in, you know, AP classes in high school and went to University of Wisconsin-Madison and are very successful now. But, you know, it's not all about the AP classes and science and math, although those are very important. But people who go into music, people who go into instrumental, people who go into art, whether it's painting or sculpture or whatever, that also has a tremendous value to our society. And I think just like athletics, I mean, I did a little bit of sports, but I was more of a band and choir kid. And that camaraderie, learning how to, you know, a show choir piece, you have to get along with everybody, the timing, the personalities, that teaches you as much, in my opinion, about skills for life than math.
Yeah, that team aspect of sports absolutely carries over into the arts. And you know, I think of visual arts, there's a less team aspect, but there's obviously opportunities for that in visual arts too, to work as a team. But the skills that you learn within music classes, you're pulling art, music, phi ed, reading, math, all of the things come into music, which is why I love teaching it, because it was so easy to connect back to what the kids are doing at home, to connect what they're doing in their classrooms, and pull them in and find a passion for music.
We're here at the Wisconsin Public Education Network in Green Bay, Wisconsin, the beautiful Green Bay Preble High School. Brent, about 2 or 3 minutes left here. This summit, what have you gotten out of it and just professionally, and what do you hope to come from it as a group of educators in the state?
You know, I've been coming to the summit for a number of years, and it's always great to see new faces and see newly motivated people trying to take charge to get some momentum behind funding our public schools. And I think that's our biggest challenge right now, is getting the state legislators to look at the budget that they passed and realize how much it is not funding our public schools.
This program goes over 11 stations across the state. So as an educator, what do you think people, voters, let's put it that way, voters in the state, what do you think they're missing when it comes to voting for people, when it comes to legislative elections? What are they missing? What issue do you think would you like for them to think about when they go to vote for people that has a real impact on education, public education in the school?
You know, as an educator, I would say stay educated, stay informed, and stay engaged, and know which of your which of your legislators aren't voting for the things that we need. Look at what the Senate and what they're voting for and passing, so that we are able to then put people in those seats who are going to support our nearly 90% of students who are in public schools.
Well, an average voter might say, "Well, you know, Mr. Bergstrom, what more? Why is it always about money? What is the money going to do that you're not getting? If you had more money, what would happen?"
Well, our school budget hasn't kept pace with inflation since, I believe, earlier today I heard, since 2009. Mm-hmm. So yes, it sounds like more money, but it's really just keeping up with inflation to pay general costs and staff and keep the lights on. And it's really warm in here today, but air's got to shut off at some point because they got to save the money overnight so that we are able to pay for our staff. So really just that education and that staying engaged and sharing that education and that engagement across with your community.
I totally agree with you on that, because I think that people overlook the ongoing costs of what it costs to keep these facilities running, the benefits packages. That's the basis of it. And when the legislature underfunds that, that's why people say, why there's so many referendums? And that's why it's just the full funding isn't happening in Madison to a large degree. Yes or no?
You think, you think of funding just to pay the bills for your house. It's a lot of money, right? Yeah. Or an apartment or anywhere. Think of about a building this size that serves nearly 2,000 kids. Right. I mean, that takes a lot of money.
Right, as it turns out. Beautiful building. Really, really gorgeous. Fantastic. Appreciate you're part of what makes Wisconsin great. Thanks for being a great educator. Brent Bergstrom from the Green Bay Area Education Association. Appreciate
you. You bet. Thank you.
My pleasure. Come on back. We'll have more on the other side. We are live on location of Green Bay Preble High School for the Wisconsin Public Education Network Summit. Don't go anywhere. More after this on the Civic Media Radio Network.
This is the talk of La Crosse, Eagle 1490 AM.
Whether it's day or night, hot flashes due to menopause can be unpredictable. That's why there's Veozah, a prescription treatment proven to reduce the number and severity of hot flashes day and night that can start working in as early as 1 week. Based on clinical studies measuring efficacy at 4 and 12 weeks, individual results may vary. Talk to your healthcare provider about what this may mean for you. For moderate to severe vasomotor symptoms or hot flashes and night sweats due to menopause, Veozah can cause serious side effects, including liver problems. Your doctor will do blood tests before and during treatment. Stop Veozah and call your doctor if you have symptoms of liver problems, such as feeling more tired than usual, decreased appetite, nausea, vomiting, itching, yellowing of the eyes or skin, pale stool, dark urine, or stomach pain. Don't use Veozah if you have cirrhosis, severe kidney problems, kidney failure, or take CYP1A2 inhibitors. Ask your doctor about Veozah. To learn more, call 1-866-239-1637 or go to Veozah.com. That's Veozah.com.
Streaming TV is where it's at. It's not about cutting the cord anymore. It's all about your customized TV options. With the best and cheapest high-speed internet and your own TV subscriptions, we've got your dream TV lineup. Between wired and satellite internet and TV, save money and get more internet speed and better TV today by calling the Whole Home Connect.
800-217-9129. 800-217-9129. 800-217-9129.
Matt Nair on air.
Corrine Hendrickson, you mentioned a conversation with Ron Johnson, Corrine, about the need for child care in Wisconsin. How did that go?
I said, why don't you think we should fund? And he goes, I think an elegant solution, it would be for moms like you to stay home so the other moms can go to work. And I said, well, and I shouldn't get paid for that? And he just kind of stared at us. And I said, that tells me all I need to know.
Matt Nair on air, weekday mornings 9 to 11 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Snakes, zombies, public speaking, the list of fears is endless. But the real danger is in your hand when you're behind the wheel. Distracted driving is what's really scary and even deadly. Eyes forward, don't drive distracted. Brought to you by NHTSA and the Ad Council.
As Wisconsin is cheering on the Brew Crew. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to pre-recorded content.
Truth, wherever it may lead, and having fun doing it. Welcome back to the Todd All Ball Show, live on location at the Wisconsin Public Education Network Summit in beautiful Green Bay, Wisconsin, at Green Bay Preble High School. Glad to have you along here on a sultry day, as they say, but the education talk is also very hot, very informative, and we're glad to continue on with another guest here at the table from the Commons in Green Bay Preble High School. Our guest is Laura McCoy. She is a member of the Green Bay School Board. Laura, thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
Oh, it's our pleasure. Love coming up here. My stepmom spent a lot of her time growing up here. She and my dad now live in Shawnee. So Green Bay, as I said to Brent, our last guest, a lot of us that don't live here, the first thing you think of is the Packers. And yeah, that's great. But there's a vibrant community beyond the Packers in Green Bay.
I would completely agree with you on that. Our city is a thriving place. I mean, there's been a lot of things happening in just the last few years that we can be very, very proud of. And the schools are one of them.
Yeah, absolutely. How long have you been on the school board?
A little more than 8 years.
Nice. Yeah. What's the biggest change that you've seen from the time that you got on until now at the Green Bay School Board?
Well, when I came on the school board, I was a little naive about what the job would entail. I mean, it had all kinds of determination to be a good board member and to do well by my community. And school board races were kind of sleepy little affairs. There wasn't, you know, there wasn't much attention. That has completely changed. In recent years, they've become much more partisan, and a little bit more. Get a little bit more spotlight on you as you run. You know, people are paying a lot of attention to public education right now, rightfully so. We should be scrutinized, and I wish more people paid more attention. But a lot of things have changed, and of course, public education in general in this state is under a lot of stress right now, and has been for a number of years, and it's really starting to show up in this summit that I'm attending today and taking part in. Has really shown that. It's really good to see all these people coming together and paying attention to how we can work together to maybe alleviate some of that stress and bring more more education and knowledge to people, because taxpayers, you know, they should know about their schools. They should pay attention to where their tax money's going. It's important work, and I'm just really happy to be here today. I'm glad that Green Bay is hosting this.
Good. The same thing from a school board member perspective that we asked our last guest, Brent, as an educator. From a school board member perspective, what's your biggest challenge right now that you face in this political climate, but also just trying to make this work for the Green Bay area?
Funding. Every single school district in this state is under stress regarding funding. The latest budget is just completely inadequate to fund public education. And here in Green Bay, we are really going to feel that. The budget was such a disappointment. It's just really hard to educate over 18,000 students when you can't rely on funding. This summit is part of that. The biggest thing right now, I'd like to be able to tell you that it's about curriculum. It's about teaching children, and we do that every day. You know, and we have amazing staff, but if you don't have secure funding, if you don't have funding you can rely on and plan for, it puts a wet blanket over everything, and it's just really to navigate that.
We're about 3 minutes here before the end of the before we have to step away. I'm going to bring you back with Representative Clancy, but let's start beginning, because I get what you're saying, but I think a lot of people around the state who don't pay attention to these issues, what they hear, not just from you, but from a lot of people, when they say, well, all they want is more money. What are they doing with the money they got? And they look at the budget, and it's like, oh, there's $500 million or whatever it was more for public education. Hey, that was great. But begin the discussion, if you would, please, about what is it that is lacking when it comes to funding? What are the challenges that you're required to do as a school board that you're saying we're just not getting the funds we need or required from Madison?
Well, I would start with in the 1990s. Mm-hmm. I'm sorry to go back that far, but it really matters.
It's important.
Right? So the revenue caps are put into place. And Green Bay was a conservative, low-spending district. Mm-hmm. So our levy was set really low. And we've been struggling with that basically ever since. Around Act 10, we stopped having cost of living increases for the funding too. And once that happened, the span between what we were getting and what we needed just skyrocketed. And then, you know, 16 years of no increase in cost of living, it's just you know, made it impossible. So here in Green Bay, we have done a lot of hard work with consolidating schools. The people in our community have stepped up again and again to pass referendums. I mean, if you look in this room, just this room here, I am looking that way into the auditorium. Ooh. That has all just been renovated last year.
Yeah, beautiful.
With that taxpayer money and referendum behind us, there's a new addition, and beyond that is a new football stadium, right? This is the level of commitment we have here in Green Bay. So we have beautiful facilities, but that's referendum. I mean, that's taxpayers saying yes to generations that are still not even born, right? That's wonderful, but we need that per pupil increase. We need the cash to keep the lights on, basically, and to pay our staff what they deserve.
We're going to come back, talk more about this. You can stay at the table. We're going to add Representative Clancy, who is here as well from the legislature, and we'll have him join us at the table as well and talk more from the Wisconsin Public Education Network Summit here at Green Bay Preble High School in Green Bay, Wisconsin. And also, Zomers, we'll try to sneak in a little bit of what's worse, a little bit of extra fun before we get out of here as well, and catch you all up on more of the news. Don't go anywhere. Farm update from Pam Yonke and her staff. News, weather, and sports is next. We'll come back for Green Bay after this on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to The Eagle, WLCX, lacrosse's home for Nightlight with Pete Schwabe.
As Wisconsin is brats on the grill for a tailgate, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
ABC News, I'm Brian Clark. Glenn Maxwell's lawyer says she answered every question regarding more than 100 individuals in Jeffrey Epstein's orbit during her 2 days of conversation with Deputy Attorney General Todd Blanche. Friday, President Trump did not rule out pardoning Maxwell, who's serving 20 years for child sex trafficking. The Epstein matter has partially overshadowed the president's trip to Europe, says ABC's Rachel Scott.
The president has officially landed here in Scotland to begin his 4-day international trip, and the focus is going to be a mix of golf, family business, but also those ongoing trade talk. The president does have a meeting scheduled with the British Prime Minister in which he says they plan to fine-tune that trade deal that they reached on the sidelines of the G7 summit in Canada just a few weeks ago.
Two people were hurt Friday when a Southwest Airlines flight dropped 500 feet to avoid a mid-air collision. There were two people injured on that flight from Burbank to Las Vegas. This is ABC News.
The Brewers lose to Miami. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. Baseball, the Brewers with a 5-1 loss to the Marlins. Miami has now won 7 of the last 10 games. Brewers manager Pat Murphy.
That team over there is hot. They're playing good, and they're coming of age. And it's reflective in their last 10 games and how some of those players are coming into their own. And we didn't do enough.
NFL training camp continues in Green Bay. The players with a day off, they resume practice tomorrow morning at 10:30. Mark Murphy held his final press conference after 17 years as the team president and CEO.
You know, it's a little bittersweet. I mean, obviously, I'm very appreciative. You know, I feel honored, you know, that the fans have been so supportive, you know, of me and the organization. You know, I feel so grateful to Bob Harlan. You know, he and I overlapped for a number of months, but more importantly, you know, he left the organization in great place, and hopefully I've done the same.
That's the Packers' Mark Murphy with sports. I'm Mike Clemens.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabe. As far as episodic TV goes, nothing gets me more excited than a well-done cop show. There have been 2 spinoffs so far from the Amazon Prime cop show Bosch, a show about a stubborn, uncompromising police detective played by Titus Welliver. In a new cop show, Welliver heads up the cast in Westies. According to Collider, Welliver plays Glenn Keenan, a Vietnam vet and gritty beat cop. The story is set in the early 80s in Hell's Kitchen in New York and follows the Westies, a real-life Irish street gang, as they try to carve out a piece of the action despite being a much smaller force than the Mafia's 5 families of New York. Welliver calls his character deeply corrupt and very dark, but also nuanced. Joining him in the cast are J.K. Simmons, Tom Brittany, Jessica Francis Duke, and just added additions Sarah Bulger and Stanley Morgan. The Westies will drop on MGM Plus sometime in 2026. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabe, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Download the Civic Media app in the Google Play or Apple App Store and take us everywhere. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
With your forecast, I'm Corey Hartman. Partly sunny today, highs in the mid-80s. Mostly clear tonight, upper 60s. Mostly sunny, warm and humid for Sunday. A high near 91, the heat index pushing toward 100. Sunday night, mostly clear, lows in the mid-70s. 93 Monday.
It's 73 at our studios.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabe,
the founder of Wonderfully Wisconsin. He's been on the show before, but tonight he's here to make the popcorn pick of the week. Mr. Paul Vandenplas,
the Peanut Butter Falcon.
Oh my God, I love when people pick a movie I know nothing about.
A campy comedy buddy story, really just a heartwarming message.
Paul picked a movie that I've never heard of that gets excellent critic and audience reviews. Very well done, Mr. Wonderfully Wisconsin.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabe, weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
Doctors Without Borders is delivering life-saving medical care where it's needed most in communities around the world. From bandaging war-wounded patients in Sudan to providing clean drinking water in Haiti, we're in more than 70 countries worldwide, bringing patients from sick to recovering, from emergency to aid, from crisis to care. This life-saving care is made possible by a global movement of supporters like you. Thank you.
Pete Schwabe.
On the next Nightlight, I welcome Ben Giles, founder of Laughable Productions and the funniest person in Oshkosh contest. Then, If Walls Could Talk host and podcaster Mike Siegel joins the show.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabe, weeknights 6 till 8.
You're listening to pre-recorded content.
Show across Wisconsin on the Civic Media Radio Network. Now 35 minutes past the hour of 3 o'clock. We're live on location for the Wisconsin Public Education Network Summit. We're at Green Bay Preble High School, beautiful Green Bay, Wisconsin. Zommers, well done. The iconic music of the now late great Chuck Maggioni. I don't have my notes in front of me, Zommers. How old was he today when he passed away?
He was, I just saw it.
If you don't know, that's fine. That's,
I believe 84.
Well, yeah, I believe 84. We lost Chuck Maggioni today. Hulk Hogan passing away at age 71. And Governor Tony Evers says he's not running for a third term. So there you go. There's your news headlines today across the Civic Media. But you're probably too young, Zommers. But when I first started getting into radio way back in 87 in high school, we used to have a program called Music for Dining. And the thought was that people were still back in 87 sitting down together and having dinner. And you want dinner music in the background. And so I used to play a lot of Chuck Maggioni on my first shifts at WRCO in Richland Center. So well done. Well done on the Chuck Maggioni music. Well, let's get back to the reason that we brought us here for the show in Green Bay of Green Bay. For those watching on the stream, Facebook, YouTube, Twitter, and X, whatever you want to call it. There it is, the Preble Pride, the Hornets logo in the back with the beautiful Commons area here. It is a product of the great support of voters in the Green Bay Area School District here. And joining us at the table, we have Laura McCoy. She is a member of the Green Bay School Board. And also joining us at the table, State Representative Ryan Clancy of the 19th Assembly District, Bayview River West area, more towards Milwaukee representative, but glad to have you up here in Green Bay.
It is fantastic to be here, and what an amazing school to be in.
Yeah, it really is. It really is a part of what makes Wisconsin great. We're going to get back to Representative Clancy in a minute. But, Laura, I wanted to follow up with you because it's another indicator of successes in public education in a place, you know, the last couple of elections, Brown County, the Valley, as they say up here, is tending to be a bit more purple. But historically, it's voted more red in the Republican column. But Green Bay voters have led the way in something called voucher transparency. First, what is it and why is this important?
Well, in fall of 2023, our school board passed a resolution asking our city council to support us in putting the money that our district loses to voucher schools on the tax bill. Because as it was, you would see a certain amount that went to Green Bay Area Public Schools. Well, that's actually not really accurate. A chunk of that goes to voucher schools. It leaves our district, and then we turn around and levy locally to our taxpayers for that money. We really don't have any choice. We have to recoup that money in order to be able to run our school district. So we passed that resolution unanimously as a board, and we brought it before the city council, and there was some maneuvering going on, and it got tabled. So we were like, okay, now what? So we brought it back this last spring. We had a different city council. An election had happened. So, and with a lot of work from a lot of people, it passed. And I think we're the first school district in the first city in the state who has done that. Now, a hot topic today at this summit is other districts and cities wanting to do exactly that as well. Because if you're going to ask your taxpayers to constantly pony up more money to support their public schools, you should let them know what they're losing to voucher schools. And that money leaves you have no control over it. It goes to schools where they don't have the same amount of transparency, they don't have an elected school board. You know, that money, that's taxpayer money going, leaving your district. And so let's, we lost about $12.5 million last year.
Wow.
That's real money.
Yeah, real money.
Right? And that doesn't even include like a charter school that we give a lot of money to, like $1.1 million for a charter school here. It's a lot of money, and taxpayers ought to know that. And they ought to be able to see that on their tax bill. So the city council took that vote. It was tied, and the mayor broke that tie. And that information will be on our tax bill, our property tax bills for the city of Green Bay. Now, our district is more than just the city of Green Bay. There's a bunch of municipalities around it. But Green Bay, obviously, is by far the biggest entity in that. So they will have that on their tax bill this fall. And I'm interested to see the reaction from the citizens of our community when they see that number.
Mayor Gingrich has been on this show before. I know this is something, transparency is something that's important to his agenda as mayor in Green Bay. Just to put a fine point on it, because I think it ties into the discussion we were having prior to our step away for a news update, is that people, taxpayers, will say, well, why do they want more money? Because I'm giving this explains why, correct? Because by doing this, as you said, literally when they get their tax bill in the mail on a piece of paper, it will break down where their money went, which hopefully will help people understand, look, the money you're paying in taxes to the school, it ain't all going to the school system. That's why we have to come back and have another referendum sometimes for either ongoing costs or other needs, because you're paying the money, but it's not all going to what you pay for. Did I get that right, or correct me if I'm wrong?
Right. I mean, there's a lot of factors in it as to why we have to go to referendum constantly, but referendums are coming at a fast pace now. Mm-hmm. And it's all because we need to fill that gap where the state won't step up and fund public education the way it ought to. Mm-hmm. And budget after budget, they've been choosing not to do that. So our districts, the districts around the state are getting, the problem is becoming so acute that those referendums are coming at a faster and faster rate. Now, we're going to have to go to referendum next year.
In Green Bay.
We just passed one last fall, right?
For ongoing costs, or?
This one will be an operational one, which is just money.
Right.
I mean, I don't know
exactly. Keep the lights on.
Yeah, I mean, we've done a lot of fine work around facilities, but this next one is going to, because we're currently operating under an operational referendum, but that was for a 10-year period, and it's going to fall off next year, and we need to go back to the voters again. And at some point, they're going to be like, wait a minute.
Right. What's going on?
Yeah.
Before we hand it off to Representative Clancy, very quickly, if you could, just to make sure that I'm clear and our listeners are clear, people are going to say, wait a minute. Did she say that our tax money just gets given to somebody else beyond our public schools? It's the Republican-controlled legislature that allowed that to happen, correct?
Yes, absolutely. The thing around vouchers, you know, has been growing steadily over a number of years now. Voucher schools, I mean, public schools didn't get a bump this year in funding.
$0.
Yeah, yeah, $0. Right. Voucher schools did.
Right.
Yeah, substantial.
Let's bring State Representative Ryan Clancy of the 19th Assembly District into the discussion. Representative, just move the mic just a tad closer, if you could, to your mouth. There we go. Before we get into the policy of this, as we always do with a new guest, tell us a little bit about yourself, where you grew up, and what led you to the legislature.
Thanks so much. Yeah, my name is Ryan Clancy. I'm from Milwaukee, born and raised there. And the reason that I'm in office right now is that I was a public school teacher in MPS for about 13 years off and on, both as a substitute and then a regular classroom teacher. And my last year, I had 44 students in one of my classes.
Wow.
And I like to think I was a fairly adept teacher to 25 students at a time. 44, I could not be the educator that I wanted to be and that my students deserved. And then when I was asked to run for office, I realized that I could have some impact outside of the classroom, too. So that's what launched me here.
How long have you been in the legislature? Forgive me.
Yeah, this is my second term. Moving into my third year now. Prior to that, I was a county supervisor in Milwaukee.
So let's pick it up on what Laura just said there, because I think this is so important. I really appreciate you bringing this topic up, because this is a great... I think too often we get caught, I'm as guilty as anybody, in just the bomb throwing. All these people are bad, or that side's bad. But once you break it down and explain it, this tells the whole story. And when people are getting their tax bills, and they, because I'm a big believer in transparency, and you say that, oh, wait a minute, my money that I was told going to my public schools is being taken away for vouchers / private schools. Representative, talk about this from a legislative perspective. You know, I was a Republican for 30 years, left the party in 2011, because, you know, you can say what you want about former Governor Tommy Thompson, but two-thirds funding, even that hasn't been maintained. For a party, wouldn't it be great if the legislature picked up two-thirds today?
Right. And I'm so appreciative for what's happening here in Green Bay. It's amazing to see you folks kind of leading the way on transparency, because the problems here in Green Bay are not just Green Bay's problems, right? We have every year, the most recent numbers are that over $800 million a year being siphoned out of our public schools and into these unaccountable, non-instrumentality charter schools and voucher schools. And most people don't know that. So that transparency is really key. And the other part about referendums, that is not Green Bay's problem either. We saw over 400 referendums, 400 just in the last 2 years. And these aren't to expand things. These aren't to add, you know, new opportunities for students. These are to keep the lights on. And they don't always pass. So in Milwaukee, where I'm from, our last referendum barely squeaked by. And I was terrified that it wouldn't. But I don't think that Milwaukee's going to stand for another referendum. And I am really scared about what that means. Because ultimately, education should not be funded on the backs of property taxes. I think we're in the top five in terms of, like, the property tax burden on folks. Property taxes are a terrible way to collect those monies. What we should be doing, and what I'm going to call for this fall, we'll have legislation, would stop paying for education with property entirely and have that be general state aid and raise those things. What that would do is actually cut everybody's property tax in more than half, from $4,200 on average to about $1,700, $1,600. And all we have to do is tax the rich and corporations.
We're talking with State Representative Ryan Clancy of the 19th Assembly District in the Milwaukee area, and also Laura McCoy. She is a member of the Green Bay School Board. We are live on location at Green Bay Preble High School for the Wisconsin Public Education Network Summit. Representative, I want to go back to the legislative side. My former party likes to talk about, you know, I call it the doggy, but the DOGE, you know, the Department of Government Efficiency in D.C. And now I think Robin Voss, the speaker, came up with some goofy thing about the goat or something. It seems like if you went to the common sense would say, OK, we might not agree on anything else, Speaker Voss, but can we agree that we want transparency in our government? Why? Let's join together and have a state bill that Governor Evers can sign before he leaves office that requires what's happening in Green Bay to be on every taxpayer's roll.
It is galling to me that anybody would vote no for a basic transparency measure. And it's very clear. I mean, this is the Republican agenda. It's transparency, austerity for public schools, and it's whatever, the unaccountable, private charters want to do. And there is a massive double standard there. And yeah, I mean, asking Republicans, it makes them a little bit nervous. And in fact, in an audit committee last term, we were able, when they were trying to just audit public schools, to slip in that they would also audit non-instrumentality charter schools. And we considered that a win when it's just good governance to apply the same standards to all schools of transparency, of basic accountability.
I can promise you that there was pushback here in Green Bay. And some of the people that showed up to push back were some of the people that were in the state legislature when in the 90s, and they showed up at our city council and took a stand against transparency on our tax bills.
Wow.
And it takes a lot to get this across the finish line. A lot of people had a hand on this. Like we had a unanimous school board We had a superintendent support it. We had a city council that supported it, a mayor, and local electeds.
Yeah. Laura McCoy, a Green Bay School Board member, and State Representative Ryan Clancy. Appreciate you both. We really appreciate you stopping by. Have
Thanks
a great day.
Us.
Our pleasure. Come on back. We'll wrap things up here live in Green Bay. Don't go anywhere across the Civic Media Radio Network.
As Wisconsin is saying the word bag instead of bag, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government buy-in for the people. We reported last fall that Maine voters approved ballot question 1, limiting contributions to super PACs spending money in state elections. It passed with massive voter support, but like the state's foreign influence ban, was ruled as likely unconstitutional. That's what organizers hoped would happen. The ballot question reads, do you want to set a $5,000 limit for giving to political action committees that spend money independently to support or defeat candidates for office? The act also required super PAC donors to be disclosed. A First Circuit Federal District Court ruled July 15th that both provisions violated free speech protections and pointed to the Citizens United, Buckley v. Valeo, and other past U.S. Supreme Court decisions. Harvard Law professor Lawrence Lessig argues that large contributions to PACs risk quid pro quo corruption of supported candidates, even if a candidate isn't directly speaking with the super PAC. Elon Musk's America PAC and crypto industry super PAC's support of Donald Trump are recent examples. Lessig said in 2023, when the initiative was announced, that it was designed to force the U.S. Supreme Court to answer whether contributions to super PACs can be regulated by states in the same way state candidate contributions are limited. The case will next be appealed in the First Circuit, then could reach the U.S. Supreme Court in late 2026. We have more at AmericanDemocracyMinute.org. I'm Brian Beal.
A game without a crowd is just a scrimmage. A performance without an audience is just a rehearsal. Without your presence, high school sports and the performing arts aren't possible. Ensure that these essential extracurricular activities continue to enrich the lives of students in Wisconsin. Purchase a ticket to your local high school's game or performance.
This message presented by the WIAA and the Wisconsin Athletic Directors Association.
Matt Nair on air.
Corrine Hendrickson, you mentioned a conversation with Ron Johnson, Corrine, about the need for childcare in Wisconsin. How did that go?
I said, why don't you think we should fund? And he goes, I think an elegant solution, it would be for moms like you to stay home so the other moms can go to work. And I said, well, and I shouldn't get paid for that? And he just kind of stared at us. And I said, that tells me all I need to know.
Matt Nair on air, weekday mornings 9 to 11 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Mornings with Pat Kreitlow.
All of these things should sound off alarm bells bigly. You see what Donald Trump's doing with Harvard and with Columbia. You see what he's doing with Paramount. ABC capitulated in a lawsuit to Trump. We're America. We're not Hungary. We're a democracy. We're always going to be a democracy. Yeah, that's what they thought in Hungary. The way that Viktor Orban and the right wing gained power was by using a little bit of power to get more power, to use pressure on networks.
Mornings with Pat Kreitlow. Weekdays 6 to 9 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Rebuilding and refreshing local radio one station at a time. This Civic Media radio station is proud to be a part of your community. Learn more at civicmedia.us.
You're listening to pre-recorded content.
Welcome back to the Todd Allball Show, live on location at Green Bay Preble High School for the Wisconsin Public Education Network Summit. Glad to have you along. 8 minutes before the hour of 4 o'clock. At the top of the hour, ABC, CBS, or James Kelly News, depending upon which of our great stations you're listening to, a weather update with Brittany Merlot. And our great sports reporter, Mr. Mike Clemens, is just down the road from where we are at right now at Lambeau Field for the start of Packers training camp. Clemens is going to be giving you the latest on the Packers, so stay tuned for that. And then coming up after that, another edition of the Maggie Dawn Show across the state of Wisconsin. Maggie Dawn every afternoon from 4 until 6. And then Pete Schwabe will be down the road the other way at our GBW studios here in Green Bay for another great Schwab is in Madison again, right?
Yes, Schwab is in Madison. Tonight, Dom is producing.
All right, Zama, Dom, and Schwabe from 6 until 8 tonight. All right, very good. Before we get out of here, another great member of a school board in the state of Wisconsin, this time from the Madison Area School Board, Nikki Vandermolen is here at the table. And Nikki, wanted to give you the opportunity because you came by and said hi, and just wanted to say welcome to the show.
Thank you very much. I appreciate the invitation. It's great to be here.
It's great to have you. And as it turns out, I know your dad from way back when I was at Platteville and Bo Ryan was coaching there, the arch nemesis rival, but in a good way, UW-Whitewater. And one of our producers, Parker, is a graduate of UW-Whitewater, the great Dave Vandermolen. And Bo and Dave used to go at it all the time on the court, but it ends up behind the scenes. They were good friends.
They were. And it was a good rivalry. It was fun.
It really was. They were part of what makes Wisconsin great, both of them. But so are you. A couple minutes here. Give us just your take on this summit here, but also the challenges that you currently face in the Madison School Board.
Very simply, the summit here is excellent. It shows a lot of the issues that we're going through in public education, what we need to do, how we need to focus on accountability, especially on dealing with accountability regarding vouchers. Madison Metropolitan School District has a huge problem with having to fund voucher schools at a 90% reimbursement rate, while we get now 42%, but that's not some specific, it's some certain, so there's no guarantee that we get what we need.
Right.
Here, and the problem with that is that as someone who was a special ed kid, cerebral palsy and Asperger's syndrome, I had to sue. My parents had to sue to get me into public school. Those kids are kids like me who will not get a chance at an education. My parents could afford to fight. Mm-hmm. How many can't?
Well, I just think you're a great role model for kids, because too oftentimes I think that there are certain people in our school systems who are overlooked. Oh, you know, those people never, quote unquote, amount to anything. And we don't take time to realize that there's a real person there. And so we all, as Robin Roberts' mom said years ago, everybody's got something. Yes. And if we just take time to get to know someone, there's a brilliant person inside each individual.
Absolutely. And it just, you have to give people a chance. I was written off at 3 because I couldn't walk right, so I was kicked out of preschool. Mm-hmm. And then my parents were told educating me was a waste of time and a waste of money. How many kids are hearing that now? We have a duty and a responsibility to educate these kids, and that's what this summit shows.
And I think it's great that they have an advocate for you and the kids of the Madison School District, but I think how many kids across Wisconsin don't have that advocate?
And so many don't. Mm-hmm. So if I could speak and just explain to as many people as possible, this is your duty. These kids are all of our kids.
Mm-hmm. No, I look, as somebody who was born with a cleft palate, I went through speech a lot as a kid. Yeah. And like the people that knew me in fifth, sixth grade would have said, that kid is never going to end up on the radio. And because I had a great educator in Otis Scott, my fifth grade teacher, who basically, not forced, but said, you got to enter the speech contest. And I'm like, why would I ever do that? Ended up getting third place. And then at my Ron Fruit and Richland Center, when I was still in high school, gave this kid with a speech impediment a chance on radio. And now here I am. So it takes people willing to give others a chance.
Absolutely. And I just am glad I can provide that opportunity, but we need more people to provide that and more people to know it.
About a minute left here. What do you hope to take away from this public education summit today? What have you learned so far here?
Learn a large amount on community schools and how to get that model. We are going to have to be creative with funding issues, because there's no guarantee that we will get what we need. So we're going to have to be creative. Also, I'm taking from here a sense of community that I didn't always have. Sometimes being an advocate is an incredibly lonely business, because not everyone is going to be happy with your decisions.
I think that's so well said. And I think the folks here, I've got to know them over the last couple of years through this show at Wisconsin Public Education Network. It is about creating community. And I love their slogan that public schools unite us.
Exactly. And that people have to realize, these are our kids. We're united as one. This is one neighborhood, one group of students that is large and all-encompassing. We need to be able to attract everyone, because the voucher schools are not the same.
They don't have to take all the kids.
No. And there's no way they would take someone like me.
Well, I think it's powerful coming from you, who had to break through, who had to have a forced a seat at the table, and as you said, your parents as well, and Dave Animal had a cachet and a name, and boy, yeah. As someone who sat on the sidelines and broadcast those games, a look from Dave Animal is all it took.
They actually read an article when he retired, the Janesville Gazette, that said Glare retires.
I believe it. I believe it. I got that glare a couple of times in post-game conferences when I asked a dumb question.
Yes.
Nikki Vandermolen, a member of the Madison School Board, thank you so much.
Thank
You're a
you.
Part of what makes Wisconsin great. Thanks for being here.
Thank you.
I really appreciate you.
Bye.
Nikki Vandermolen, everybody. Many thanks to all of our guests here. Shally Pittman, Dan Schaefer, Bill McCoshin, Denise Gomer-Hutchinson, Brett Bergstrom, Laura McCoy, State Rep Ryan Clancy, and Nikki Vandermolen. Really great time. Many thanks to all the people at Green Bay Purple High School, the Wisconsin Public Education Network, the late, great Morris Andrews and his fantastic wife, Chris Andrews, the executive director of Wisconsin Public Education Network.
That's all for this week's Best of the Todd Allbaugh Show. As always, if you want to hear the rest of the week's shows, you can go to civicmedia.us/shows or anywhere else you get your podcasts. And as Todd always says, whatever you believe in, whatever you're fighting for, do not give up. Keep banging your drum.
Soaring high above lacrosse. This is Eagle 1490 AM WLCX La Crosse and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Brian Clark. As President Trump begins his four-day international trip in Scotland, ABC's Rachel Scott says a U.S. controversy remains in the spotlight.
Hanging over all of this is that ongoing controversy surrounding convicted sex offender Jeffrey Epstein, especially as many of the president's supporters continue to call for more transparency. The White House and the president eager to turn the page very quickly with this trip here in Scotland, hoping to focus on just about anything else.
President Trump, before leaving the White House, did not rule out a pardon for Ghislaine Maxwell, who's serving 20 years for trafficking teenage girls for sex. She was a longtime Epstein companion. She spoke for a second day Friday with the Justice Department's number two, Todd Blanche, who was the president's personal lawyer. Palestinian authorities say at least 25 people were killed by Israeli airstrikes and gunshots. Many of them were awaiting humanitarian aid. This is ABC News.